Is that doing anything, Gareth?
Yeah, should be recording. Yeah.
So, we're going to look at Psalm 29, which is what I really felt God saying to us last week. And I tried to sum it up in a few words, and that was my attempt to glorify and worship the Lord of creation, our eternal King. And I put that bit in brackets underneath it. Yet still mysterious. Because I read this psalm, and there are bits in it I don't understand. That's not quite true. I can understand it, but I'm not sure that's what it means. And I don't know about you, when I read scripture, there are still bits I don't quite understand or quite know what it means. Am I reading it in the right way? And when I look at what those who are much more learned than I am have got to say on this particular psalm, there is a wide variety of views on certain phrases and certain lines in this psalm. And we'll come to those eventually. So some of it's straightforward, I think. Some of it's still a mystery, and hopefully God will reveal that to us one day. Maybe not until we get taken. So let's have a look. Let's have a look at the psalm itself. So I'm going to read this. I suggest, King David wrote this, and I reckon he was probably sitting on a hillside somewhere, looking at creation, and he just saw God and heard God speaking as he looked at creation. So I'm going to invite you, you don't have to do this, you're going to read it off the screen as I read it, but you might want to just close your eyes and let the words of poetry, those picture words, form in your mind and in your heart as I read them out. So, Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly being. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Siren like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory! The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. So we're going to have a look. This psalm one, it's sort of bookended. It's got a couple of verses at the beginning and two at the end, sitting either side of that picture that David's creating and witnessing the massive storm and God speaking to him through the effects of that storm. But it starts off with a scribe. Hands up, all those who've used the word ascribe in ordinary conversation in the past 2 years. I transferred from reading King James because the language didn't mesh with me in the world. So I thought, go to NIV, and you still come across words that are not everyday. So, good question. What does a scribe mean? What does it mean to you?
It means also, if I get not, it's his attributes. God's Lord attributes.
Yeah. I'm less keen on it because it assumes that we have something that somebody else, especially God, hasn't got. So, ascribe the Lord, the Lord, glory and strength. Can you give God strength? Is he lacking in something? So, if it's not helpful, but that attributes, a credit, assigns it, imputes the characteristics of God. The fundamentals of God. Here we go, Lord. Lord, 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 Lord. Name. Four times he uses the name of God as Lord. And the first time in the Bible that's used is way back in Exodus, chapter 3. And Moses has been told to go and tell Pharaoh to set the people free, rally the people, lead them wherever God is sending them. And Moses says to God in verse 13, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what's his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am. Has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered. From generation to generation. Lord, I am who I am. I who created everything. I am God. Then we get to this bit. Heavenly being, what do you make of that? Who's he referring to? Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly being. Who's he talking to, talking about? Yeah, could be angels. This for me is one of those could be us. Those mysteries. Different translations
of the Bible.
Bible. Some use heavenly beings, mighty ones, sons of the mighty. Back to the Hebrew, sons of God. So it's not a clear answer, a one-way answer to who these heavenly beings are. But does that matter? One of the mysteries that I was talking about, right? It's not clear cut. And even the theologians disagree. They can't make up their mind. There are different translations and different nuances to this. But does it matter? Does it matter whether David was speaking about angels, or speaking about kings and emperors, or you and me, the oikoloi, the ordinary Jack and Jill of the world? I don't think it does, because we have been called to give God the glory. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. This is glory, 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 glory. Through Jesus, therefore, let us, you and me, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. I find this really tough. Do I continually offer Him a sacrifice of praise? The fruit of lips that confess His name. In the Aramaic, fruit of lips means land. Do my lips constantly glorify God? Acknowledge His strength. You know, I could do it this morning when I'm singing, worship it. But do my lips sometimes slip? Do words come out of my mouth that are deceitful, discouraging, unkind? traits of righteous anger, they're just angry. Are they worshipping God? Is my behaviour, my conduct, the way I relate to people, is that always worshipping God, praising God? When people look at me, do they see a continual sacrifice and prayer? I invite you to think about the church. Do we give? Do we ascribe glory and strength to God? Do I try and do things with my own strength? I think you probably know the answer. In Matthew 5:16 it says, in the same way that let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise the Father. They can't see the goodness in what we're doing. They're not going to be looking. I've been telling people off. Not just that's the drums and the guitar and the keyboard that most bands. The classical instruments and even the bagpipes. You know, he produced his own album. He even designed the sleeve and played all the instruments on it. A solo album. I was quite blown away by that thing, yeah, as a young lad. And admired him. And looked up to him and wanted to be like him. And in different ways, we can, if we're not careful, can carry on doing that. But where our heart is, where's our heart? Who are we looking at? Is it God, or am I giving a portion of my heart, a portion of my allegiance, somewhere else? The splendor of the stars. Who's that scripture saying is holy? Yeah, who is holy in that? Splendor of his holiness. The Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Who's holy? The Lord. For me, this is another one of those things. Because that's the difficulty, though. If we rely on one translation, it can lead to it. Right. I'm not saying this is wrong, but you look at other translations and you see some saying, what translation have you got to do?
New King James.
But read out the last bit of verse 2 of Psalm 1.
Worship the Lord and the beauty of holiness.
In holiness.
In the beauty.
Is that it? I raise the question. Is that speaking of the Lord?
Can I read it out in?
Yeah. Interpret, translate it, I say we. It's definitely, I am not doing it. People, scholars, biblical scholars, try and understand it. Play out our interpretation on top of it.
The first part says, for Christ to come to the world, he was born in Bethlehem.
People, and does that feel like a mighty army? By God's army, you know, we read in scripture massive armies for God, and He whittled it down. But no, you're too big, still too big, and still one victory. God won that victory with a handful of mighty people. One on the west side, one on the east. And then the end of the eastern range of Lebanon is Sirion, or also known as Mount the Temple of Downfall.
Great.
massive cedar tree from matchstick. Snap. He's sitting there. The mighty waters is another term for the Mediterranean. Looking out across the Mediterranean, seeing the storm move across the water, hearing that, seeing the lightning flash and as it moves across the land, shaking the earth. Whether that be the desert land or the mountain land, because the Lord is so powerful. And in his temple, people cry out. What is scripture? What does the New Testament tell us? Where could the temple be? Us. We are God's holy temple. He is residing. His Spirit will live in us. We all cry out. Glory to the God. What time do you have to leave?
6:00.
So we come to the last slide. The last couple of verses. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with enthroned. Sitting on the throne. Ruling, reigning in power and authority over everything. But over that flood that David just described, there's nothing that he doesn't stand over. Including ourselves, everything in heaven, everything on earth, and over the enemy as well. I thought this flood was quite interesting. When you look at the Hebrew, it's exactly the same word. Find in Genesis and describing the flood there. We know that Noah was commanded to construct it, to build the ark, gather the animals, and God shut up the ark and it rained for 40 days. And Noah sent out a series of birds, and finally, when one of the doves returned to him and knew him, there in his beak was a freshly plucked olive tree. Just as he brings peace. To bring peace to Noah and all those Turn to Luke 8. When the disciples are on the boat with Jesus, and a storm whips up, and they're thinking the boat's going to be capsized, and they go to him, "Master, Master!" And he quells the storm. He brings peace. That's it. He echoes. You will keep perfect peace. You will keep him perfect peace. Him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. We keep our mind focused, upright, strong, trusting, fully trusting in him. He will grant us perfect peace. Whatever the storms we may face, he will give us perfect peace. Better with hearing. Great. So many times to so many of you, you've shared over the past year Joshua 1:9 or similar verses. It's repeated certainly in Joshua, but in other parts of the Bible also. Just hear it one more time. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God is giving strength. And he doesn't promise to take away those difficult times, those storms and floods in our life, those challenges. But if we remain steadfast, he will give us strength to come through the other way. Use that situation to grow us. I just wanted to say something else. Because in the Hebrew it doesn't say something. It's shalom. And you know, we can use shalom a bit like the Americans are fond of using have a nice day. You know, peace. You know, it can, if we're not careful, lose its meaning and value. Wait, three people will say goodbye. What a life. There is more to shalom than have a nice day. What else can you mean? In all of that, all the blessings.
fullness of God. We did some teaching in the autumn, and you're pretty reminded of this. Coming through, bursting with the abundance of God. That's the promise of the Lord. It's not just the absence of strife, but it's the possibility of the abundance of God, the whole complete. And that's what our Lord is wanting to bless us through. The fact that we often don't recognize what is in Scripture for us to find, to walk in. We have to read these words, believe these words, hear these words, and walk in these words. Because then if we do, we're in a position to be that light. They'll see something that is different and want to take from the pluck for fruit. Let's pray. Father God, we are privileged people. We have the gift of your word, the gift of your son, the gift of your spirit. Help us to listen and hear and walk in everything that you're saying to us, individually and as a body. Help us to grow and expand into the people you desire us to be, knowing that you're there with us, beside us, ahead of us, surrounding us, and within us. But we want for nothing because you've already given it. Just give us your wisdom to pick it up and make use of it. Not for our glory, and not for our benefit, but for the benefit of those who don't yet know fully of you, and you just want to use these vessels bring people into your world. So Lord, help us to be bold and strong and courageous. And to use your words and take advantage of the opportunities you give to each and every one to share with you, to speak of you, to point people to you. Amen.
Right, I'll just do something quick.